Good evening. All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his best possessions were his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. That's over in Acts 4, verses 32 and 33. But that summarizes what we're going to be talking about this evening. And that's this idea of being a sharing church. And being a sharing church, this is really how we as God's people follow His greatest commandment. How we love one another, how we love our neighbors as ourselves. How do we do that? And we do that by sharing, don't we? This is our greatest, one of the greatest powers and assets that we have, is just to share. God wants us to be able to share our stuff. He wants us to be able to share our lives. He wants us to be able to share our faith. And though those may be three different things, sharing our stuff or sharing our life, sharing our faith, when you meet someone who is just so genuine in their faith and in their relationship with God, you really can't tell the difference, can you? Because they seem to share so openly, and they are such a great representation of who Jesus was, of who the apostles were, of who the early church was, and what they devoted themselves to. So this evening, as we talk about a sharing church, being a sharing church, I want to give you just a little sort of an outsider's perspective, and the outside looking in. And the reason I wanted to talk about that is because I didn't grow up in the church. I went to, I didn't go to church when I was really young. In high school, for a little while, I went to a Methodist church, but not for very long. And then in college, my first couple of years, didn't go to church at all. But whenever I had sort of a spiritual conversation, I was really excited about that. But once I came in contact with a Christian student center, I was invited to, you know, to get to know people at that congregation, at that church. What did they do that was so impactful on my life in leading me towards having a relationship with Jesus and feeling like that was something that I needed, that I had to have? They said, "Hey, why don't you come to our house? Why don't you come to our house after church? You can have lunch with us." Really? You're gonna invite me to your home? You're gonna feed me? I'm in. I mean, it's really pretty simple. But just in that invitation, an outsider, it blows us away, and it wins us over. It wins us over instantly because people of the church are wanting to love on you and care for you and see good things for you in your life, and they want you to make good choices in your life. And they're wanting things for you that you don't even have any idea of. And so to get an invitation to go into someone's home and to have a meal is really a great thing. And so it's this idea of sharing, but it's sharing in such a hospitable way. And that's one of those assets of the church that we don't, sometimes we don't practice enough, or sometimes we struggle with, or with how busy we are in our lives and so much going on, we forget about one of those, you know, just sort of elementary things that we can do to share God's glory and what God has blessed us with, and that's just to be hospitable to people, to invite people into our home for dessert or for coffee or for tea or for a glass of water or for a big meal. We forget how impactful that is to be that hospitable. It's that invitation that seems to go the extra mile. Because we can greet guests here on Sunday, and we can greet, you know, multitudes of guests who come. And if we're not extending them some invitation to join us outside of this building at some function, then, you know, were they really guests or were we treating them like a visitor? And there's a big difference. To go into someone's home and be a visitor, you feel awkward. You feel like you shouldn't be there. And no one really talks to you, and you just kind of stand off to the side, and you just feel like, should I go now? This is probably a good time. But to be a guest means that you have a special place there. The conversation seems to be all about you and your life and what's brought you to this point, and wanting to know, you know, what brought you into church today, and what you're thinking in your life, and where do you want to go from here, and then the conversation always seems to change towards things in their life, things in the church's life, and how those can be an aid, how those can be a life raft, how those can be helpful to this guest. And so that's a big deal. The hospitality, the invitation, being a guest, treating people as a guest and not a visitor. And how feeding someone seems to be the doorway for, you know, our soul, our spirit. It seems to just, you know, take every tense thing that we could possibly be carrying and all the weight on our shoulders. But when you sit down at someone else's table and they feed you a meal that they have prepared, you can't help but just relax and be so grateful. And that's an outsider's perspective. That's not to mention when we fellowship with one another in each other's homes. Being able to share in our stuff, being able to share in this hospitality. Sometimes it's not a meal, but sometimes it's going camping together, or, you know, having an invitation to get away, or to go hunting, or to go do this thing, to go fishing, or to go golfing. It's to go get away and to have that time of, well, hey, I have this. Let's go and do this thing. You're sharing in your stuff. We also, the church does a wonderful job of sharing in life. Being blessed with being a member of a number of different congregations in a church of about 140 in Laramie, Wyoming, where the Christian Student Center was, to Sundance, Wyoming, where there was 20 at worship on Sunday mornings, or at College Church in Searcy, where there's, you know, 1,800, or here at Sunset, we're having the opportunity to worship, you know, all over the country. It gets to the point of having these close relationships with the members of God's family, with the church family. The church is so much bigger than, you know, this building or even the people in this building. And then you think about the friendships that you have as an outsider, and now as someone who has been a Christian for over 10 years, and I think about the friendships that I have and the people that I'm closest to. It was those members of the church who have continued to extend that invitation of hospitality, to extend that invitation of opening their home, of loving on us despite the distance from where you may live. When that sort of when your family, your biological family, and your church family, when they're not the same, that's pretty unique in a lot of ways. And I know some of you have experienced that. But there's a point at which your church family, they love you in a different way. They care for you in a different way. And, you know, I will brag about my parents and how they raised me and about my mother and my father. I'll talk wonderful things about them. They're great folks. They're great people. And especially my mom before she passed away. But even that, there is a depth of church family. Not to mention, you know, the vast number of church family that I now get to have. All of you are my church family. But this idea that it's so much deeper, the relationship is so much deeper. It's not just our physical family. But there's this spiritual side. And I always, when I first became a Christian, I always really struggled with this because I so wanted to, I felt like I had a half a relationship with my parents or with my family because they didn't go to church. And it's that idea of being able to have that spiritual side. I felt like I was missing half of it. But then when you have those conversations with people of the church, with members of God's body, there's just so much depth there. Because they're sharing in their stuff, they're sharing in their life. When they become your family, so much so that you spend holidays with your church family. And sometimes that was, you know, set up because of distance and jobs and not being able to, you know, to travel and be with my parents, my mom and my father. But Amanda, my wife, had a very similar experience when she traveled halfway around the world to go to school in Searcy, Arkansas. And she came to college church and had an invitation to go there. And then she met a couple older couples. And they gravitated to her and invited her in and fed her and got to know her and asked her all sorts of questions about China and had an interest in her. And it wasn't long after that relationship that one of those couples had a Bible study with Amanda, and it wasn't soon after that that Amanda put on Christ and was baptized into Christ. And those two couples are in our wedding pictures. And they are our Amanda's, you know, American parents and grandparents. I mean, that's how significant sharing is. That's how significant sharing your life, sharing your stuff, sharing your faith. Having an opportunity to sit and visit and hear stories of how couples got together, how members of the church, how they met, what life was like when they got together. To hear how, you know, one had led the other to Christ. To hear their stories of faith, their struggles of faith. As an outsider looking in, we're won over. We're blown away. Because we're seeing the light of Christ shining through you and your spouse. We're seeing that in your love, in your hospitality, and how you're willing to share and open your home. Had an opportunity a number of years ago. It was through one of these invitations where a couple, you know, invited a group of, you know, younger kids and college kids and adults over, and they after Sunday night service they all came over, and you just brought your own, you know, meal, or sometimes they prepared one. We sat around, we ate together, had this time of fellowship, and then we studied the Bible together. And there was this great amount of wisdom and insight being shared. And questions were being asked. And it was so beneficial to have this time of sharing, reading from God's Word. And it forms a habit within you and a thirst within you as an outsider looking in that you need it. You need church. You need church more than anything. Knowing that if I can't be here, I'm not gonna be able to be who God wants me to be. If these doors aren't open, how am I gonna be who God wants me to be? Because I need His people. I need people to love on me and encourage me, and that's the outsider's perspective of how important the church is and how important it can be. So when guests come, or when you have the opportunity to encourage someone, remember that sharing is a really important part of how we obey that first commandment, how we love one another, how we love our neighbor. Share your stuff, share your life, and share your faith. If any of you this evening has any need or needs to share a confession of faith and put on Christ in baptism, let this congregation help you in any way that you may have. Won't you come now while we stand and while we sing?